29. Into the Chamber. In the end, it was Modo who came up with the most useful idea. They couldn't just saunter down the tunnel. It was lit too well. So, hanging upside down, clinging with his hands and knees to the beams, Modo crawled along the ceiling, high enough that the gaslights couldn't illuminate him. It took all his skill and remaining strength to inch along. The mask had slipped so that one eye was pinched closed. There was no place to rest, and he couldn't look back to where Octavia waited for his hand signal to follow him. The tunnel curved. Modo lowered his hand near a gaslight and waved, hoping she would see that it was safe to come this far, at least. He rounded the corner, and the light was brighter. Looking at everything upside down made his eyes sore. The tunnel opened into a huge cavern carved out of the earth and rock under London. Here and there forges burned as smithies hammered on metal, steam rising from their cooling troughs. Near one fire a long line of children stood next to rows of metal boxes. Along the far side, at the end of the track, was a passenger car. Modo motioned again to Octavia. A minute later she was at the edge of the cavern, crouched behind an empty trolley.
"Are you up there, Modo? I can't see you," she whispered. "I'm here. Can you see what's going on? They're making the children lie down in metal beds."
It didn't make any sense to Modo.
100 or more children, and they seem to be clamping them in somehow, and running wires here and there.
A flash of red hair. Even at this distance, he felt a chill.
"That woman with the red hair, that's Hakandotir. She's very pretty,"
Octavia whispered.
"Her heart isn't."
Modo was shaking, having held himself aloft for so long. He heard a hiss, but he couldn't see or tell which direction it came from. A second figure was clear in the distance, a man with white hair, wearing a white apron. It must have been Dr. Hyde. He was making the children drink from a flask, one by one. Modo could only see part of the structure that they were being attached to. There was another loud hiss, and Octavia let out a surprised cry. Modo twisted around to see Fur holding her by her hair. Two more men, nearly as large as Fur, joined him. A hound snapped at Octavia until Fur bellowed, "Stop!" The dog immediately obeyed. Why didn't it bark? Modo wondered. Then it came to him. The doctor must have removed its vocal cords. They weren't guard dogs, they were killers. Octavia kicked Fur's leg. It clanged. She grunted.
"A sneaky little rat," he chided. "What are you doing here, missy?"
"Looking for roasted nuts," she said.
Modo inched across the beam, hoping to drop down and save her. He would at least have the element of surprise on his side.
"All by yourself, are you?"
Fur growled suspiciously.
"Yes, just lost."
"People don't come this far down these tunnels without a purpose."
Modo would have to shinny closer and time his drop perfectly. But before he could move, Octavia shot him a look, which he assumed meant stay where you are.
"What you looking at?"
Fur grumbled. Modo hugged the beam and held his breath as Fur's eyes passed by him. Then Octavia was yanked into the cavern, along the tracks toward the passenger car. Modo cursed. If only he'd acted, he could have beaten them. But he had to admit the truth. Fur was more than he could handle. Add a dog and two henchmen, and it would have been impossible. Octavia was gone. How on earth to rescue her? He stayed still for a full minute, trying to figure out his course of action. If he retreated, there was no guarantee that he could find Mr. Socrates. Even if he could find him, would Mr. Socrates deem a rescue necessary? Of course he would. It was Octavia. Modo decided to forge on, crawling upside down along the crossbeam to the edge of the tunnel. A dog was guarding the entrance. Its ears flicked. Modo stayed perfectly still as hackles raised, it sniffed in a circle right below him. It settled a few feet away, and Modo eventually felt safe enough to move. When he couldn't go any further without dropping, he stopped. Scaffolding was rigged along the high walls. Hammers banged on metal, their echoes filling the cavern. He spied a spot where he could leap across and land on a darkened platform. He'd be hidden by the height of the platform and shadows, and could glean a better view. But the distance meant he had to leap. If anyone happened to be looking that way, or the dog heard him, he'd be doomed. Arms, he thought. Be strong. He lowered his legs and swung himself back and forth a couple of times, letting go at the end of his arc. He hit a rock wall, but kept his balance when he landed on the platform. He thanked Tharpa silently for all the training. He got his first right-side-up look at the chamber. Gaslights were strung both across the ceiling and closer to the ground, illuminating the metalwork. How many children were lying down in perfectly fitted frames, one next to the other? Several tall men were with the doctor, moving from child to child. They leaned over and attached each child to his or her compartment with large iron wrenches. The bolts in their shoulders held the children in position. The structure had a few higher extensions, and large rectangular extensions that looked like small towers. The whole chamber was warm and moist, as though they were inside the belly of a whale. Modo looked at the lit windows of the passenger rail car. If Octavia was anywhere, she was there. No time like the present. Modo dropped down onto the ground. Good. No one had seen him. He caught a flash of movement and turned. A hound leapt at him out of the shadows, jaws open.